Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zimmer, and it is my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you today by a special guest who is returning after 5 years away, Julianne, the Reverend Julianne Silberman Bunn, who is with us today. She was the settled minister of this congregation for 12 years and is back today as our guest, and we are very delighted to have her with us. I'd like to extend a special welcome to you, to those of you who are with us for the first time this morning. We're always happy to have guests at our services and hope that you will stay afterward for our social hour, which is held downstairs in Fessenden Hall. If you find that you would like more information about the life and work of this community, I encourage you to complete a guest card, which you can find in the racks and the pews before you. You may place your completed card in the offering basket when it comes to you later in the service, or you may hand it to a representative of our membership committee who would be glad to greet you at the visitor's table after the service. The visitor's table is just around the corner outside the sanctuary doors. There you can also pour yourself a cup of tea and take a look at the collection in our church library. Ours is a church that strives to practice the fragile art of hospitality. And this flu season, we would like to practice the art of hospitality in a way that helps us refrain from passing flu virus to one another. So we're going to try some new things this flu season, and today we're going to start. We'll try something different each Sunday for a few Sundays and see how it goes. So Julianne's going to demonstrate with me this morning as you greet one another here, and then as we greet one another after the service. I encourage you to try just a gentle good morning, hello on a shoulder. So will you please take a moment to greet your neighbors? It's a special day here for our congregation for many reasons, and one of them is because we have the opportunity to welcome our new Director of Religious Education for her first Sunday with us. Now, I want to remind you a little bit about the path that we took to this day. When our previous Director of Religious Education, Diana Van Winkle, resigned, our Board of Trustees appointed a search committee, which was chaired by Mary Leeson, who is the chair of the Religious Education Committee. Others on the search committee included Amy Edmonds, Joel Slater, and Tracy Parsons. We set the goal of having a new Director of Religious Education begin with us in September, and that seemed an ambitious agenda. But we met diligently throughout the summer. The committee worked very hard and put out a call for applicants. We received several applications from many worthy candidates and were just delighted and surprised to discover that one of those applicants was Karen Lapidus, who was our Director of Religious Education 8 years ago before leaving us to go serve as the Lifespan Faith Consultant for the Ohio Meadville District. And so we are delighted today that the board has accepted the search committee's recommendation to hire Karen Lapidus. She began working this week, and we have the opportunity to welcome her back in our community. And so at this point, I would like to invite Mary Leeson, the chair of the search committee, Tracy Parsons, and Karen Lapidus all to join me up here on the chancel. Mary and Tracy would like to tell you a little bit about what they learned about Karen during our search process and part of why we're so excited to be welcoming her back among us.
Karen first became a director of religious education at the Youngstown UU Church in 1986, and from there she came to us and served as our DRE from 1996 into 2001. Under her leadership, our religious education program grew and flourished. She is the one that set up the OWL program, Our Whole Lives Sexuality, that is still used today. And one of our last projects with our congregation was the Coming of Age program, something which has not been offered again until this year. So it's only fitting that Karen joins us for this special time. She holds a Master's of Arts in Religion from Meadville Lombard Theological School and a Bachelor of Science in Nursing from Kent State. As Melissa said, after she left our congregation, she went to work with the district and became the consultant for Lifespan Faith Development. While working with the district, She has had many tasks and duties. She has led the Unitarian Universalist history and administration models of the Renaissance program. She's completed the leadership for religious educators at the Mountain Learning Center. She facilitated covenanting for excellence in religious education programs. She was a mentor for the UUA's religious education credentialing program and has served on the faculty of EAGLES, the Eastern Great Lakes Leadership School, and ALTI, the UU Leadership Team Institute. She's written her own curriculum, which she plans to publish, Considering Humanism, an Introduction for Sixth Grade Unitarian Universalists. And even though her first official day was only this Tuesday at very reduced hours, she has already met with Melissa. She's met with a member of the Coming of Age Committee. She's met with the RE Committee. She's met with a whole teaching team, and those are the only things that I know about. I've enjoyed working with Karen before, and I feel very blessed to have the opportunity to work with her again, and I look forward to a wonderful year.
I didn't prepare anything to say. I'm just going to make it up off the top of my head. One of the things I learned about Karen is I really didn't know that she had become so influential and instrumental in running of the entire Unitarian faith groups, as it were. I figured it would work out really well. I have a lot of fond memories of when she was DRE. So,
Karen, we have been so eagerly anticipating your arrival that we prepared a little surprise we'd like to share with you. And Kendra and Willow have the surprise. They're going to come up here and unveil it. And I'd like to ask Kendra and Willow, you come stand right up here and unveil it that way so the congregation can see it first, and we're going to read what it says to Karen. And then hold it up really high after you get it all the way unfolded. What does it say?
Welcome, Karen.
You turn around so she can see it.
Goodness, this is a really a wonderful welcome. Thank you all so much. When I learned of this opening, of course, I was sad that Diana Van Winkle was leaving. But then when the dust settled from that, I thought, that might be an interesting possibility for me. And then after having been at Summer Institute with so many of you, I realized that I couldn't do anything but work to come back here. So. And for many of you, this will be a renewing of our relationship. But for so many of you, this is the first time you've probably laid eyes upon me. And so we will be forging new relationships together. And so I really look forward to that. And I'd also like to remind you of what Mary said, and that I just started this position on Tuesday. But yet the RE program is up and running and ready to go. And we need to express our gratitude to Mary, who's been the chair of the RE committee as well as the search committee, and to all the members of that committee, and to all of the teachers and the coming of age facilitators, and also to Diana Van Winkle for leaving the program in such good shape. So thank you, everyone.
This is the day that we have been given. A day marked by the stunning light of a late summer morning. This day contains everything: our hopes and fears, our gains and our losses, our joys, our sorrows, our disappointments, and our loves. This is the day that we have been given. Let us be awake to it. And let us learn to love. Amen, and blessed be.
Hello.
It's wonderful to be here and see so many familiar faces. I have to tell you, compared to the pulpit in the church that I now serve, this pulpit that I always thought of as quite large is really rather tiny. The minister who was at the church that I now serve for 32 years had the pulpit designed to match the building and his own stature. And he was 6'6". So I have to stand on a rather substantial box to even be seen over the pulpit. So this is kind of fun. On with the sermon. The title of this morning's sermon is Seeking Peace Within. And I've been reflecting for some time now on how I might approach this subject. But on my way to Ohio on Friday, something happened which completely shifted my thinking. Or perhaps I should say, it brought me full circle to the meaning of seeking peace within. I found out on Friday that my brother had been in a terrible car accident and was in the intensive care unit of a hospital in New Jersey with numerous internal injuries and broken bones. Ironically, a huge part of the reason that I decided to leave Ohio in the first place for the East Coast was so I could be close to my brother and other family members in case of emergencies. My brother has long studied Buddhism and is well-versed in Quakerism, both theological traditions which require the individual to sit in silence and wait for that elusive, still small voice within. The sense of inner peace that comes from meditation and the calming of chaotic voices within is not so for me. I have read about Buddhism, I've meditated, I lived in Quaker community and worshipped Quaker style for years. But what it is and what it means to wait for the voice of that which is in all of us is not something that I am particularly good at. I want my answers and I want them yesterday. So not only was my brother in an accident and I on the road and going in and out of areas where I could receive cell phone messages, the trauma surgeon who worked on my brother kept going into other surgeries with additional traumas before she could call me. And because of HIPAA laws, no one else in that hospital was authorized to speak with me, his only relative. Calm, Julianne, be calm. Breathe deeply. Seek some inner peace. In time, you will know something. Remember that there is nothing you can do but wait. I don't like waiting. This is a holiday weekend. The police officers and all the detectives assigned to the case are on vacation, as are the people who run the lot where his vehicle was taken. I cannot get any detailed information about what happened until Tuesday. Stay calm. Breathe deeply. Deeply. Deeply fill your lungs. For Paul. He cannot breathe deeply. His diaphragm was torn, and his internal organs were filling his diaphragm, preventing his lungs from filling with air. The tear was repaired. He can breathe again. Breathe. Simply breathe. In and out. They are watching the bleed in his brain. They are observing the compression fracture in his vertebrae and all the other breaks in his scapula, his ribs, and sacrum will simply take time to heal. Relax. The hospital is doing its job. And you, Julianne, you are doing yours. You're on your way to Ohio to preach to a congregation you left 5 years ago, to preach to them about seeking inner peace. So begin to practice what you will be trying to preach. Breathe in and out. Calm yourself. Calm and breathe peace. Serenity. All things will happen in their time. As you can tell, seeking inner peace is not always easy, and you do not always get to control the events in your life or your responses to them. Seeking inner peace is truly challenging. It requires us to put aside for the time being the chaos that is all around us, and as if, not more importantly, to turn off the tapes and directions running rampantly in our own heads. Our heads should tell us what is right and what is wrong. However, they're often filled with judging, particularly if, like me, you come from a family with a history of dysfunction. And in all honesty, I have to say, I believe most of us come from families with one type or another of dysfunction. We who grow up in dysfunctional households resort to trying to figure out what is normal based on external indicators rather than internal ones. In other words, we are trained not to listen to our inner cues and clues about what is right and what is not, but to accept outer clues and cues. As a result of this, how we should treat ourselves and others and what we accept from others is not based on natural instincts, but rather it is based on a process of taking information in and sifting it, which then becomes conflated with the ideas that we already had, often meaning we develop inaccurate and harmful inner messages. As a woman in American society, it is hard not to find yourself accepting messages that tell you that you are not pretty enough, thin enough, or whatever it is, and that if you use certain products, life will suddenly, miraculously become better. All of that is about marketing and commercialization, and it addresses our many insecurities, which are based on the fact that so few of us have found internal ways to find that inner peace we seek. And continually seeking external validation rather than working to strengthen ourselves and our core of inner peace is all about commercialization. As I thought about returning to Kent to be with you in worship, I reflected on how much trouble I have had over the years adapting my own self-image, seeking and coming to a sense of inner peace. When I was first here, I was young and new to ministry, and seeking wisdom and mentoring from my colleagues. I probably even had a chip on my shoulder about being young and inexperienced and constantly needing to prove myself. As I reflected for this sermon, I realized the challenge for me is that somewhere along the line, I had to change that image, and I did in part, but not completely. I still need to accept and make peace with the fact that I am now a 17-year veteran of the UU Parish Ministry, and have the experience to be the source of wisdom rather than the seeker of wisdom. And it is reasonable that people are and have been seeking me out as a mentor. Part of accepting those changes and finding inner peace is owning the reality of the choices and the changes we make in life. After 12 years as your minister, having watched you grow from Sunday attendance that could usually be counted on the hands of two people, and a building that the kids from the old Central Elementary School thought was haunted, especially when they heard my voice, to becoming a thriving congregation in a building that had the same warmth and vitality as the congregation, I had to admit that I was in need of new challenges and new opportunities to reform myself by facing challenges that would help me come to peace with different aspects of my ministry, myself, and my career. There have been times when I have wondered if I made the right choice, but more times than not, I know that I did what was in everyone's best interest, and I have come to peace with that decision, much like a parent must make peace when their children leave the nest. I had to make peace with not being part of the next stages of your life as a congregation. I wrestled day in and day out with how to seek and find peace in my own life. And yet I know that the choices I have made in my life have all led to a wonderful and rich journey. Sometimes I must pause and breathe simply to see how far I have come in my own life, my own journey, both of seeking and finding inner peace. And as I think about this, I must say that having read in your newsletter that your minister, Melissa, has fallen in love with you as a congregation was in fact a great source of peace. My church, my first church, has found a new minister to love them as I had done for so many years. I have found that inner peace can be found by owning the gift of love and companionship in our lives. It is all about seeking, building, and renewing relationships. Sometimes, though, we need to pause. Pause to breathe, to look forward and back. Breathe deeply and take stock. At 5 o'clock this morning, we received a call from the man who has been my husband, Ken's, closest friend for over 30 years. His brother, who had left a poker game with Ken at 1:30 this morning, had had a massive heart attack and died at the age of 49. We immediately left for the hospital to be with our family of choice. We left Ohio to be close to family in times of crisis. We are here this weekend to be with family in times of crisis. Sometimes peace comes unbidden and unrecognized, but we are eternally grateful when it appears. For the times when we think we have thought and planned that which would bring us peace, for all the bumps along the road that surprise us, and for all those who we love, the struggle for peace can often be found by waiting and watching more than by laboring at the search for inner peace. We can help ourselves and others by reminding ourselves that if we take the time, peace can be found. And sometimes it is closer at hand than we ever could have imagined. Thank you for bringing us to Ohio at this time. Amen and blessed be.
Will the ushers please come forward? We strive to create peace and justice. It's not a mission we can fulfill alone, nor it is a mission that is just ours for this time. It was handed to us by those who came before, and when the time comes, we will hand it to those who come when we are gone. The power of hand in hand, the power of heart in heart, the power of voice joined with voice. This is how we share the ministry. The offering will now be gratefully received. And if you are our guest this morning, we have a gift for you as a token of our hospitality. There is a candle in the offering basket. We'd be glad for you to take one with us when you go.
as we all travel on our independent journeys, may you go in peace and unrest, to love and to serve as best you are able, seeking inner peace. Amen and blessed be.